important job that they do for all of us. This week, I had a chance to speak to Pietrus Botha. He is a English and Afrikaans newsreader right here in our very own office. He's someone I've worked with for a long time, and he's a good friend of mine. And I really enjoyed getting to know how his job affects his life personally as well as professionally. So every week, I like to sit down with someone from EWN and chat to them, not so much about the biggest stories from the week, because that's what they do, you know, Monday to Sunday anyway, but rather talk to them about the experience of being a news person in this crazy, crazy world that we have. These guys play a very important role in making sure we understand how our world works or what our world is, and to help us make decisions like who we vote for, where do we spend our money, who should we be concerned about, how do we protect our families, all of these big things. We need information to make those decisions, and these are the guys that help us to do that. Last week, we spoke to Nathalie Malchas, who is an English newsreader. She does the news for KFM, and she was also a journalist, a field reporter. I have her colleague in studio with me, Pietrus Botha. Hello, Pietrus.
Hey, Terence, how are you, man?
Very well, and yourself?
Good, good.
So the reason why I thought it would be great to have you following up from Nathalie is because you are a bilingual newsreader.
Yes, that's correct.
English and Zulu, right? English and Afrikaans.
So English and Afrikaans,
so
yes.
So you do both?
I can do both, but at the moment my main job is reading the Afrikaans news on KFM in the afternoons.
So you'll be getting English reports from our reporters and then translating them?
That's it.
Okay, so this is what I found interesting, because it doesn't happen that you're not translating word for word.
No, you can't translate word for word, because from a grammar point of view, it just doesn't make sense to translate word for word. Mm. And also, I have to look at the story, the bigger story, because there's a difference in bulletin length. So I don't have a sound clip that Nathalie would, for example, play out,
right,
or a voicer that she would play out. So I would take two lines from the intro, and then I would skip to information from the actual voicer and translate that.
So, and is there a difference in the way that you would even tell the story from the way you would for an English audience compared to an Afrikaans audience? Is it, I don't know, more conservative? Do you avoid certain ways of speaking? Are there cultural differences maybe?
I don't think I'm more conservative and more protecting. There's different ways. For example, if a child was raped or molested, there's different ways of saying that in Afrikaans.
Mm.
But I don't make it pretty just because it's an Afrikaans audience. A news story is a news story, and you can't prettify something if it's not pretty.
Yeah, so you do as little sugarcoating as possible.
Yes. I have to tell the story at the end of the day.
Mm.
I think the biggest difference is where, for example, Nathalie has a reporter who can voice a story.
From the field.
From the field. Mm. There Natalie's got the reporter to tell the story. In Afrikaans, I'm that voice. I need to tell a story in 90 seconds, and I need to get as much information through to you in 90 seconds that I can.
While still respecting the story, while still respecting the members of the whatever news story that is, it's a very complex job, actually. It's not, because, and this is what I've, the more I start to explore how news happens through this whole process, you go, it's not just someone getting a piece of paper and sitting in front of a microphone and reading verbatim. There's a lot of thought that goes into even just this, the particular words that you use.
I spoke to someone 2 days ago, actually, and this person asked me what I do, and I said, well, I read news. And he actually said, oh, so you go in, you've got your little paper there, and someone's written it for you. I'm like, no, that's not how it works.
That's like the 1% you see at the end.
That's what you see on TV. You've maybe got someone who wrote their bulletins for them. But we actually go there, we sit, we think about how we roll out our stories, how we run those stories, what takes priority, what goes, you know, higher up, lower up, mm, etc. We sit here and we actually work,
yeah,
during the day. We don't just sit around and then, oh, come 4:30, you run in and just read something.
I mean, I've seen you guys literally working on your bulletins right up to the moment that the bulletin has to happen, because there's so much work that goes into it.
Exactly. And what makes my job fun is, I'll never forget this. This happened about 3 months ago. Makosi Khoza resigned as MP. And this happened at 4:30, my bulletin. So what happened was, And this is how you just need to think on your feet and on the fly. I dragged the story into my cast. It was still English. And I was reading that story, ad-libbing that whole story, translating it in my head while I'm standing there reading, because this was the breaking story.
So you couldn't miss it. You couldn't wait for an hour or 2 hours later, because this was the most important story hour.
Because everybody was watching Makosi Khoza and what is her next move. And then this happened. So it was just one of those things that you go, you know what? Trust your translation skills today.
I've been doing it for so many years. Just has to work on the fly. I was thinking that it is interesting, though, that those sudden changes don't happen that often. Usually the news throughout the day is very similar. Do you find it quite burdensome to be telling the same stories hour after hour? I mean, it's important for as many people to hear it as possible, so there's a reason why you say the same. I know you mix it up. You have, you know, 7 stories and then you choose 4 of them or whatever. But still, you are still working through all of these stories throughout the day. Do you find that weighs on you?
You know, sometimes you go like, oh, do I really have to read this story again? But then you also realize that, I mean, my shift, you know, my first bulletin is at 12:30. And at 5:30, that's my last bulletin. And the person who listened at 12:30 doesn't necessarily listen at 5:30 and vice versa. Okay. So it's all about re-angling the story and making sure that what you're giving them is fresh. So even if it's a story from 12:30, there's still ways to make it fresh and exciting at 5:30.
I mean, that, again, is why you guys spend so much time working on every bulletin. It's not just you sauntering in and with a piece of paper that someone else wrote some words down on. And you
sometimes, trust me, I wish it worked like that, but it doesn't.
Another aspect to your job, though, is like you were saying, you are, you know, you get all the field reporters, you get all the news pieces. They kind of funnel through you. You're the last gatekeeper for the news. You know, you're the one that truly brings the news to us, yes, to us normal plebs over here. That's quite a responsibility. Do you feel that? Do you feel the weight of that responsibility?
I think we all feel it because, like you said, we're the last gatekeepers. So we've got to trust in our reporters, because they're there. They can tell the story, and what they're telling, what they're giving us, we must be able to trust them. So it's all built on trust. And again, we have got, I think our reporters are the best. I'm sounding biased, I know, but we have got,
well, they win awards.
Exactly. Yeah. We've got the best reporters out there. So if we get a story from Rahima Esop, out in Parliament, we know we can trust what she's saying because she's there.
Mm.
But I mean, it's still, you still do your fact check and make sure that everything, all the boxes are ticked.
I was going to say, you are responsible for what goes out on air at that point.
Exactly. And if we screw that up, then, I mean, there's complaints that are lodged, all of those type of things. And you get called into Charlotte's office.
We spoke to Charlotte a couple of weeks ago. She's lovely.
She is lovely.
I can imagine, though. But again, it's, you want to make sure that you respect the story up until the very moment that you're sending it out on air.
At the end of the day, we are storytellers and we are telling people's stories. Mm. For example, one of the stories this week was the story about Stasha Arendse, the girl from Mitchell's plane who was raped and murdered. The murderer pleaded guilty. He's been found guilty now. You need to tell that story. What happened, you need to tell it. But you need to remember that you are talking, you're telling a story of an 11-year-old girl who died horrifically. And even that comes with responsibility, because you need to be compassionate in a way, but you need to be, you know, unbiased and just tell the story as it is. And that's why we all feel pressure, because we're dealing with your story, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. It's people, and you're telling their story, and you have to realize that it's human beings that you're affecting. It's human beings who you're listening to, it, but it's also human beings who own the story, so to speak.
Years ago, and this is when I started out, 15 years ago in the old KFM building.
Oh, you are so old.
I am very old. I was doing a story and it affected me quite a bit. And my mentor at that stage, she turned around and she's like, listen, you just need to step back from this story. Because what's going to happen to you if one day you have to do a story about one of your family members? So from that day on, quite literally, whenever I do a story, I think, what if that person is someone I know that's close to me? And that, you know, makes that you actually just rethink about how you actually tell the story.
Deliver it.
Yes.
I often find this interesting. It's a question that I ask myself often because I do spend a lot of time dealing with news and dealing with news people. But for you in particular, you know, you go home after a shift, after an 8, 9, 10 hour shift, however long, because I know you also work on weekends. But you go home and now for most people who don't deal with the news as deeply as you do, you go home to your partner and you chat about the story, the news stories of the day. Oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? Are you able to do that with your partner? Because surely you're like, yes, I heard that. I heard about the story. I'm done talking about that story. I'm so done.
That does happen. That does happen quite a lot. I'll be honest with you. I'm just, you know, I'll get home and my partner will ask me about, you know, X, Y, Z. So what's happening with the ANC elective? And I'll be like, you know what? Just let's not talk about this right
now.
The
last 5 hours, that's all I've been talking about.
Can I just sit down, have a glass of wine, and just relax? But
watch some trash TV for
exactly,
a bit.
Which is exactly what I do. That's my come down. And it will probably sound very weird now, but I actually, when I get into my car, whether it be from home to here or from work to home, I actually don't listen to the radio. I drive in complete silence, and that is my way of just processing everything that's happened during the day, every bad thing, every good thing that I've read. So by the time I get home, I've kind of decompressed.
Okay.
And I don't have to take it out on my partner or the animals or anyone else for
slamming
that matter.
Slamming the door as you walk in. You know, this is what I found so interesting, is that we only see the 1% of what you do. You know, that those 90 seconds. We don't see it. We hear it. We hear those 90 seconds of what you do, as opposed to the 8 hours of what's going on. And what I'm trying to do with all of this is actually just give myself and people who aren't news people just a bit of insight into the real emotional cost that there is in bringing the news. You know, and this is something that I've picked up from everyone who I've spoken to. It's not a job. I mean, it is a job. You get paid for it. But you're not doing it because of the millions and millions of rands that you're, you know, this definitely not.
Exactly, because we don't earn millions and millions of rands.
You do it because you want people to know the news.
I believe it's a calling. Again, like I said, I mentioned earlier, I've been in this for 15 years. That's how long I've been in radio. And that's basically my whole adult life.
That's it.
And I've done every single thing in radio that you can possibly think of. And every time I've kept coming back to news, you know, so it's a passion, it's a calling, it's either you like news and you love news or you don't. It's one of those two, it's one way or the other, there's no in between. It's not, let's give it a try and see how it goes.
So if you're, just in closing, if there was someone who is thinking about the newsreader role, maybe in this building one day, what advice would you give that person? Let's say someone 15, 16, thinking about becoming a journalist, thinking about becoming a newsreader. Once all the things that you've just said, it's like, yes, I love the news. I want to bring the people news. I want to tell the people about the world and, you know, really inform them. What are the first steps that someone should take?
Do an internship. That's the easiest.
With you.
Well, maybe with Natalie. I'm not that good a teacher. I'll be honest with you. Now, you know, again, going back, I started as an intern at KFM. I had a normal day job. I went in every weekend for 2 years without getting paid, but it's because I loved news. And don't think that you're going to walk into a newsroom and, you know, you're a reporter today and tomorrow you're going to be on the desk. It doesn't work like that. Unfortunately, there's a very slow turnaround when it comes to desk positions in radio. So be willing to work hard and wait your turn. It will happen.
There we go. Some great advice. Petrus Botha, thank you so much for your time. And really, honestly, thank you so much for what you do. Like, it is an important, important role, which I think isn't valued enough in this world. So thank you for the work you do.
No, thank you for having me and chatting to me.